me to the Gospel according to Luke. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter number 15. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 15. Tonight we're going to read the first 10 verses. And I'd like to speak to you on this theme tonight. Everyone has great value. Everyone, emphasis on the word one, has great value. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Isn't that interesting? Who wanted to be close to Jesus? Publicans and sinners. Not the religious crowd. They were kind of standing back and, you know, examining things. Verse 2 tells us, and the Pharisees and scribes murmured. Can you hear them murmuring now? This man receiveth sinners. This man, you know, when you read the Bible, read it with a little theater, all right? They're not just, this man receiveth sinners. That's not how they're talking. They're talking in a mocking way. This man, I mean, what is he doing? Receiveth sinners. And eateth with them. I mean, the gall of this man. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose how many? One of them. Underline that word in your Bible. One. One of them. Doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over, what's the word? One, underline that, one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one, they're underlying that, piece. I mean, she's got nine left. She loses one. Doth not light a candle, sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece. That's one. The piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one. Underline that word. One. Center that repentance. Every one has great value. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to be in church tonight. Thank you for everything that you've done in this meeting. It's been a joy to sing songs of praise to your name and take part in the missions moment and take part in the prayers and praises and all of it, Father. Now tonight, I pray that as we take a few minutes and go through some thoughts from your word, I pray that you would once again remind us of this truth, that you would challenge us with this thought tonight. In Jesus' precious name, amen. The Lord Jesus' audience consisted here, as we read a moment ago, of publicans and sinners, scribes, and Pharisees. Interesting, though, the ones that were the nearest to him were the ones that needed him the most. I mean, they all needed him, but when you look at it on the surface, you would say the publicans and sinners, and then you've got the scribes and the Pharisees. They're just cleaned up sinners is all they are. They needed him too. But here we see that Jesus wanted to be near the ones that the others maybe thought weren't of great value. They wanted to be closer to him to hear what he had to say. The Pharisees and the scribes were there for their critiquing. They were there for their criticizing of helping and eating with a sinner. Oh my, who would dare eat with a sinner? So they were there for the critiquing ministry. They started the first critiquing ministry, I guess, and criticizing ministry. And it carried on. I remember reading a book several times. I've read this in several books about D.L. Moody. And he was preaching one time and talking about witnessing to people for the Lord Jesus Christ and evangelism and being a soul winner and telling people about Jesus. And somebody came up to him and said, was very critical of his evangelism, and you shouldn't do it that way, you shouldn't do it this way, and you shouldn't say those things and all of that. And so he said, all right, so tell me, how do you evangelize? How do you tell people about Christ? And this individual said to Mr. Moody, well, I don't. And Mr. Moody said to this individual, well, I like my way of doing it better than your way of not doing it. And so let's not look around and see people and criticize. Let's learn from the Lord Jesus Christ here. And the emphasis of one, every one, has great value. Three parables are taught in this chapter in Luke's gospel. And they are the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. Now, we did not read about the lost son. But that's the next parable that he tells within these verses of Scripture. And the emphasis, again, is the value of one. The value of one. There are several common threads that we find within all of these parables. Let me give them to you quickly. First thing is this. Something or someone is lost. Something or someone is lost. Now, tonight we read about the lost sheep and the lost coin. The lost sheep and the lost coin. And the third one is the lost son. So something or someone is lost. Number two that we find within these parables is there is a seeking to find what was lost. There is a seeking to find what was lost. We read just a moment ago how the shepherd, if you will, or just someone that takes care of sheep, I would just assume a shepherd, but it was a parable that they would leave the 99. There's a couple of songs about that, maybe you can remember, and they would go into the wilderness looking for that one, and the mother or whoever here, the lady, I mean, had 10 pieces and lost one, would stop everything that she was doing and start sweeping and searching and looking. I also think number three, something that we find within these parables is there is compassion in every one of these. Compassion. Man, I tell you what, if I had 100 sheep and one of them was lost, I'd say, well, hey, I've still got 99. I mean, what's one, right? What's one four-legged dumb sheep, right? When you've got 99 more, it's just a little less feeding, right? Well, that's not what the Lord Jesus is telling us here. He's telling us that everyone has value. Everyone has value. I mean, you know, I've got 10 pieces of silver and I can't find the one. I mean, that's all right. I got 9 left. No. Everything is going to go on hold. You know what? Maybe you've been like that before. Maybe I've been like that before. You know, something is very important to us and everything else just stops and we focus on finding or looking or searching or whatever. And of course, the Bible tells us about the prodigal son that the day that he came home, his dad was out there standing waiting for him. I don't know because it's a parable, but my imagination tells me that every day the dad went out there on a certain spot where his son would come if he was to come home. Just an imagination. It's not in the Bible. But he was there the day that he came home. And the Bible is very clear that his father showed great compassion as he kissed him and he hugged him and he did all that he did for him. Then number four, something else we see within all of these parables is there is rejoicing when the lost is found. There's a celebration when the lost is found. And the Lord Jesus is telling this parable and he's relating it to finding a dirty, smelly, stinky sheep. He's relating it to finding it a nice piece of silver. He's relating it to finding the sin-ridden rebellious son coming home, and he's saying and he's comparing all of that to in heaven when someone is saved, just one, everything stops and there's a celebration because one sinner has repented, one sinner has trusted Christ as Savior. As of the writing of this message, there were approximately 7.8 billion people in our world. 7.8 billion people. If I could somehow share the gospel in groups of 100, now, speaking to 100 is intimidating. I remember in Bible college speaking to a classroom of guys that none of them knew what they were doing either, and that was intimidating enough. And then I remember speaking to some teenagers in a public school Bible club ministry in Bible college, and that was intimidating. And then I remember traveling for 27 months and speaking in churches, and mainly in the United States, but some in Canada. And each time I would get up and open the Word of God, it was intimidating, whether there was 10 or whether there was thousands. That didn't happen too many times, but a few times. Here is the idea of standing in front of 100 people. If I could stand in front of 100 people and preach the gospel, I could preach to 7.8 billion people in 4,000 years. That's how long it would take. In case you're wondering, I would not be around for all 4,000. Just three, but not four, okay? Just kidding. It's not going to happen. And yet we find in the Word of God that we are commissioned, I am commissioned to be actively sharing the gospel. This commission has been given to all believers. I want to ask you something tonight. Are you a believer? Are you a Christian? Now, I can't hear you right now, but I hope you're saying, yes, Pastor, I'm a Christian. Yes, Pastor, I'm a believer, or amen, or praise the Lord, or something. Elbow your spouse who's wide awake, but they just need a little elbow there on the couch, you know, and your son or your daughter. I'm asking you tonight, if you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, then we have all been given a privilege. We've all been given the privilege of being a witness for Christ. Now, think about this. Not everyone is called to be a pastor. I'm glad I'm a pastor, but not everybody's called to be a pastor. Not everyone's called to go to Botswana as a missionary. I'm glad the Haleys are called to go to Botswana as a missionary, but not everyone's called to go to Botswana as a missionary. Not everyone's called to teach publicly in a Sunday school or whatever. I think a lot more have been than are, but I'm just saying not everyone is called to be a public speaker. Not everyone is called to be an assistant pastor or whatever. You just say there's a lot of things that not everyone is called to do. But can I encourage you with something? It doesn't matter how long you've been saved. It doesn't matter what degrees you do or don't have next to your name. If you are saved and I am saved, then every one of us have been commissioned to be a gospel evangelist, taking the Word of God wherever we go. We are called to deliver the life-changing message of the gospel. My witness makes an eternal difference. Your witness makes an eternal difference. One life at a time. Everyone has value. Would you go with me now to the very first book of the Bible, which is the book of Genesis, and the second chapter. Genesis chapter number 2. And the Bible here tells us, and the Lord God, verse 7, Genesis 2, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living what? Soul. We've learned about this over the last several months repeatedly. It's come up in topics and it's coming up once again. Don't let the emphasis of it just go in one ear and out the other. The soul of mankind is eternal. The soul of mankind is eternal. It will exist somewhere forever. I want you to think about this. We're going to bring this a little different tonight, but we're going to bring it to a head in just a minute. The soul of mankind is eternal. Do you believe that? Do you truly believe that the soul of every person you walked past today, because everyone you walked past today, and I walked past today, or came near me today, or we drove past them, obviously kind of hard to interact in that way, I'm just saying, everyone that we pass by every day, impossible to engage in all of them, I understand that, but here's the thing, we have to agree on this, well, we don't have to agree on it, it's true, that the Bible says that God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, and this soul will live forever somewhere. So you have a soul tonight, sir, that's in you that's going to live forever somewhere. So number one, we've got to recognize anew and afresh that everyone has a living soul. Everyone. Go to Mark 8, please. Mark 8. Mark 8:36. Mark 8:36. I think tonight if I asked you, do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? I think probably most of you would say, yes, I believe the Bible is the Word of God. But I want you to think about this. Does your actions speak louder than your words? Because I believe if we truly believed what we're looking at tonight from the Bible, it would change the way that we live our life. And yes, the Bible is a life-changing book. Every day that you open it, God is wanting to change you. Change you, change you, change you, change you. Into what? More into His Son's likeness. More into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 36, a familiar verse says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose what? His own soul." Lose his own soul. The most amazing life on earth that ends without Jesus Christ will mean nothing in eternity. The most successful life on earth that ends without Jesus Christ. The most popular name. And again, I'm going to give you a name. Last year, you may not even remember this, but last year, a professional basketball player retired, but he died last year. Him and his daughter and a pilot in a helicopter crash. You remember that? Mr. Kobe Bryant. If I went to almost any country in the world and I said Kobe Bryant, I don't know if I could find anyone, maybe out way out in the bush possibly somewhere I would find, but most places I could say Kobe Bryant and someone would know who that is. His name, much like other professional athletes and famous people, I don't know Kobe Bryant's relationship with God. I don't know what happened to him when he died, but I know this, his soul is still alive tonight. And it's either in heaven or it's in hell. I pray that it's in heaven. I have no way of knowing. The point is this. A successful man, a man with multiple zeros behind the numbers in his bank account, and he died, his body died in that terrible death, helicopter crash, going to a sporting event with no thought in his mind of dying. But it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? The most amazing life on earth that ends without Christ will mean nothing in eternity. Go to Luke chapter 16, please. I'm reiterating some things tonight for me, and I think for maybe some of you as well. Do we really believe these things? Do we believe that everyone has value? Jesus said, A lost sheep of 100, one has value. One coin of 10 has value. One son of 2 has value. Everyone has value. Why does everyone have value? Because, number one, they all have a soul. Everyone. Not your dog, not your cat. You know, your dog and your cat do not have a living soul. I love Fido and all that. That's wonderful. But we're talking about people right now. They all have a living soul, and so if we truly believe the Bible for what the Bible says, then those living souls are going to spend eternity in one of two places. You already know where those are. But knowing it up here doesn't mean knowing it here. The Bible says in Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, verses 22 to 24, I won't read them, but the rich man died and was buried. Lazarus died and with angels carried up into Abraham's bosom, which is a picture of heaven. The rich man died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. So here we have heaven and hell in this story, Luke 16, 22 to 24. And then we have in Revelation 20:15, it says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Someday hell and the devil and his demons and the false prophet and all of that, they're going to all be lassoed together, and it's all going to be tossed into the lake of fire once and for all. But this is where every living soul that rejects the gospel, this is where every living soul that dies without Christ is going to be one day. Do we believe that? Again, I submit to you, it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not, because it's going to happen, because it's in the Bible and it's God's word. But if we truly believed it, it would change the way we live our life. Then we see 1 Peter 1. Would you go with me to 1 Peter 1? 1 Peter 1. Oh, I'm so thankful tonight that the gospel came to me. I'm so thankful tonight that the gospel was given to me over and over again. I'm so thankful that God has allowed me, a sinner saved by grace, a sinner not worthy of being saved, a sinner deserving of hell. I'm so thankful that the gospel has came to me. And I'm so thankful, not enough yet, but I'm so thankful that God has allowed me to take this gospel and give it to others. I haven't done it enough. I need to give it to more. I'm not where I need to be. I'm not saying that. I'm saying it is a privilege, again, for every believer to be commissioned, called, and you're called if you're a believer. You don't need a call like to be a pastor or a missionary or whatever. No, every believer is called to be a witness. Because everyone has value. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, the Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope." How? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What has He given us? An inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in where? Heaven. Amen? Reserved. Reservation. There's a reservation in heaven for those that have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. My eternal soul, the minute this body dies, is going to be absent from this body and present with the Lord. I know that I'm going to heaven tonight. I know that heaven is my eternal home because I have the promise of the Word of God, wherein ye greatly, verse 4, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So these realities are from the Word of God, and they are eternal. Eternal. There is no redo button when we die. If I could just redo this. No, you can't. John Dyer, a Welsh poet and pastor, said this: "Man may go to heaven without health, without riches, without honors, without learning, without friends, but he can never go there without Jesus Christ." Everyone has value. The world system rejects the message of the Lord Jesus Christ being the only way to heaven. Many see Him as one of many options. Oh, yeah, okay, that works for you. Fine, that works for you. Well, I have my own way. That's what the world system would say. That's what many religions would say. Oh, yeah, I can just add Jesus to the shelf of my other ways that I'm just trying to get as many ways as I can. But when we open the living Word of God, we can open it up to John 14, 6. And many of you know these verses. But in John 14, 6, we can listen to the Lord Jesus Christ say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Do we believe that? Do we believe Jesus is the way? That's Jesus speaking. We then read Luke writing in Acts 4:12, and Luke says this: "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." The context of Acts 4 in those verses is talking about Jesus Christ. So there are three Bible convictions that I've given you tonight. Here's what they are. Make note of these. Number one, the soul of man is eternal. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That soul does not die when the body dies. A lot of people will say, "Well, when I die, it's all over." No, it's not all over. In fact, it's just beginning. It's just beginning. Because this body is going to live, who knows, if your brother Gord, 98 years, but I don't know a lot of people that live that. And of course, Mrs. Hilton, 100, that's a miracle, isn't it? I mean, every day is a miracle, but you're going to live however many years, and then it's going to be over. It's so short compared to all eternity. The soul of man is eternal. Number two, the soul of man will spend eternity in heaven or hell. There's no other option. These are Bible convictions. I hope they're your convictions. I'm not asking you to have my convictions. I'm asking you, do you have these as Bible convictions? Because that's what they are. They're not Pastor Turner's to give to you. They're Pastor Turner's to show you from the Bible that you would say, yes, those are Bible convictions that I believe to be. And number three, Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection is the only way to heaven. So each of these convictions are true whether you or I believe them or not. But I want to ask you this, church. Do these three statements grip your heart? Grip your heart. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Do they grip my heart? Because within these three statements, we have, in a nutshell, the fact that everyone has value. God's word, we believe to be true. And if God's word is true, and I believe God's word is true, I'm not saying if as if we don't believe it, because God's word is true, let's say it that way, then we must continue, or we must start to share the message, because every soul will live forever, because every soul will go to heaven or hell. And because Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, we must continue or must begin to share this truth with others. When we see people, these three thoughts should come to our mind. They have an eternal soul. It doesn't matter what they smell like. It doesn't matter what they look like. It doesn't matter if they've got ink from this side down to this side, ink all over their neck, and I'm not talking about their pen exploded. I'm talking about tattoos all over themselves. It doesn't matter what they, it doesn't matter anything. It doesn't matter all of that. It's irrelevant in this case. When we see them, this is the three convictions. These are the three convictions we need to be meditating on. They have an eternal soul. That eternal soul is going to be in heaven or hell when they die. And Jesus Christ is the only way they can get to heaven. And by the way, if we see these three things from the Bible, then we are well on our way to making a difference in someone's life, in each one's life, one soul at a time. Because everyone has value. It's not looking at someone as a human in the sense of, you know, they were rude to me or this or that, and we've all been there and we've all reacted. I'm going to raise my hand. No, that individual has a soul that's going to live forever in heaven or hell, and Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, and I know how to tell them to get there because I know what Jesus did for me. Oh, okay. See, everyone can be a witness. Why? Because you have a testimony. Hey, Pastor, I can't stand up and preach. I can't do that. No, but you have a testimony. How did you get saved? How did you come to Christ? Tell me about it. And you begin to talk about what Jesus did and how Jesus saved you and how you got saved. That's the beginning of an engaging conversation. Let's go quickly to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, most of you know these verses, but let's go to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, everyone has value. Matthew 28. Great commission here. You've heard people say this before. The last words of anyone are of great value, especially right at the end, right? Hang on those last words. Well, Jesus didn't die, but he was ascending back to heaven, right? I mean, he died for 3 days. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about here where he's going to go back to heaven now. So when he left his earthly, finished his complete earthly ministry, these are the last words. And what are they? The great commission. Look at verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. First two words of verse 19. Go ye, and teach all nations, baptizing them, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. 20, teaching them to observe. Here we have four things I'd like to give you quickly, and God willing, we'll talk more about this next Wednesday. Number one, we have the word go. The word go. Go is an action word. Okay? Right now, I am going nowhere in a hurry. I'm just standing. I'm not going. I'm standing. this is not going. As much as, you know, now, you know, a snail doesn't move very quick, but I'm not even moving at a snail's pace. I'm standing. Standing is not action. It's a stagnant. I'm not moving. My mind is right now telling my foot to move, you know, but I don't want to do it yet. I'm telling my mind, no. Point is, Jesus said, go ye, there's action there. There's movement there. You could say physical movement, you could say spiritual movement, yes. But there is an obvious need in 2021 for you and me to be actively going. Why? Because everyone has a living soul. Because that soul is going to go to heaven or hell. And because Jesus Christ is the only way for that soul to be. You must go. Then it says, we must teach. Notice, it says, go ye therefore and teach. We're going to give that one the word win. Go, win. What is this word teach? It's talking about preaching the gospel with the goal of someone getting saved. I do not save anyone. You do not save anyone. But someone has to be the teacher. How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they be sent? The point is this. People need to hear the gospel. Where are they going to hear the gospel from? They're going to hear the gospel from me because somebody gave me the gospel. They're going to hear the gospel from you because somebody gave you the gospel. Why do we even care about that individual? Because they're a living soul. It's going to die and go to hell or heaven someday. Jesus is the only way. You see, if we remember those three things, it's going to change every way we look at people. When? By the way, every relationship you have is an opportunity to preach the gospel. The first place that you want to preach the gospel is, number one, in your home. In your home. Whoever's in your home. If you have anyone else in your home, begin right there preaching the gospel. Your children. Your spouse. Now again, you're going to have to, in some cases, if your spouse is unsaved and you've been saved, you've been praying for them, you're going to have to be led by the Spirit of God. I'm not talking about banging them over the head with it every time you get an opportunity, but I'm saying that that's the first place that we want to be preaching. Preaching with the way we live, but also preaching with our mouth. Every opportunity, family, friends, co-workers, the clerk at the store, the food delivery people. Hello, a new outreach ministry in 2020, now going into 2021. You know, the skip the dishes guy that you've called 95 times in the last 3 weeks. I mean, 3 months. No, 3 months. Hopefully you haven't had to do that. But there's all kinds of opportunities to win, to preach, to give that John and Romans, to give that one track. So verse 19 says we need to preach. So first we have to go, then we have to preach. Then someone gets saved. In verse 3, the Bible, in verse 19, it says baptize. The first step of obedience for the new Christian is baptism. It pictures the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to ask you tonight, have you been scripturally baptized? You're watching this broadcast, this service, you're saved, but you've never been scripturally baptized. Then you say, Pastor, I got saved. I remember getting baptized when I was, I don't remember it, but you know, my parents told me I was 2 years old and I got sprinkled. Is that baptism? No, that's not baptism. That's sprinkling. Sprinkling and baptism are not the same thing. For one, sprinkling is nowhere in the Bible. Okay? But we see baptism right here in the Bible. It's from a Greek word, baptizo, which means immersion. And when we're baptized, we're picturing the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you've never been baptized, get a hold of us. We can schedule a baptism. You need to be baptized. What is the Christian life? Here's the Christian life. Hey, listen. You say, I've heard the Great Commission. I'm about to fall asleep, Pastor. Okay, wake up then, because the Christian life is filled with saying yes to the Holy Spirit over and over and over again. It begins with getting baptized, and that's just the very beginning. And then every day of our life, the Holy Spirit of God is telling us to do certain things. And the victorious Christian is the one who says yes to the Holy Spirit of God. No to the flesh, yes to the Holy Spirit of God. It's one obedient step at a time. And then there's another one. Verse 20, teaching. So if go, win, baptize. And then number 4 is teach. What is this? Teaching the new believer how to live the Christian life. What's another word for this? Discipleship. Bible study with someone. Whatever you want to call it. It's teaching them, training them. Just had a new baby in Anchor Baptist Church. Amron is only 4 days old. Imagine that. Wow. What a precious gift. Amron is completely dependent on everyone. Amron can do absolutely nothing for himself. He's completely dependent on everyone. When someone gets saved and trust Christ as Savior, and then they take that first step of obedience and they follow the Lord in believer's baptism, there is a great comparison that we can make between the Amron Lubiano, who's 4 days old, and a new Christian who just got saved and is baptized and trying to navigate the Christian life. They need mentors. They need people praying for them. They need disciplers. And that's the teaching part of this go, win, baptize team. All of them are important. Because if I'm going to get to the 7.8 billion people, I'm going to have to do it by multiplication, not by addition. Because it's going to take me 4,000 years, and I don't have to. And even if it's only me and somebody else, that's 2,000 years. But how about if it's me and three other people? Now it's broken it down to 500 years each. You get what I'm saying. Math might be off. A newborn child of God needs the exact same attention, concern, care. Because eventually we want that newborn child of God to jump in, go. They can go immediately with the gospel part. But we want them to be able to do the same thing that God saved us and equipped us to. And it's not about me. Remember, everyone. I have no idea who's listening tonight. But especially those of you that are from Anchor Baptist Church, I want to ask you, when you go out tomorrow, would you join with me considering those people that you see? Number one, they have a living soul. Number two, that living soul is going to go to heaven or hell. There's no reset button. And you have a message of salvation.